Davey D hanging out with you. We're here talking with Minister Christopher Muhammad from Mosque 26 over in San Francisco. I wanted to talk to you for a couple of reasons. The history of the police in the Bayview and the history of the police, just even the recent history of the San Francisco police and some of the things that they've been caught on tape with, leading to 57 felony charges being tossed out. I wanted to know how are we supposed to view the police when they're investigating crimes, knowing this sort of history?
Well, it's important to understand history and why there's the degree of mistrust between the community, the black community particularly, and law enforcement, particularly in San Francisco and throughout the Bay Area. There's always been this kind of relationship that law enforcement has had a very heavy hand, a very abusive hand. They have oftentimes a mentality that hunkers down, covers themselves when there's misconduct. This is history. In fact, the history of law enforcement in America is rooted in slave catching in the Virginia and in the South. So that, unfortunately, is in the very DNA of policing. And it makes no difference, even in these modern times, if you have black, Latino, Asian, women officers. When you join the force, you're joining a culture.
Right.
And unfortunately, that culture has been tainted. So there's an understanding that mistrust between law enforcement and the community. And then when you add to that documented cases of the rioters in Oakland, cases where police in Richmond, is confirmed, have been involved in distributing guns to teenagers. Law enforcement in Contra Costa County that is involved with drug distribution and prostitution in Contra Costa County.
And also finding in L.A., we just found that the police are members of gangs.
Exactly.
They're just confirming that.
So you have this history where the lines have been blurred, where law enforcement has not always acted according to the ideal. And therefore, we've oftentimes have taken the brunt of that connection and that relationship. And now, I think with the advent of videotape on cell phones and other means of communication, people are able to record things that have just depended on law enforcement's word against our word. And so once you have now the videotape, people who are witnesses and have been able to put it on YouTube and other means of communication, this has opened up a whole era of transparency with law enforcement and its interaction with our community. And so now things that we've known, things that many of us as black men have experienced just by being stopped randomly for no reason and having to explain ourselves and hope that it doesn't become a fatal interaction. Well, all of that is very real, and now it's coming to view because we're having the advent of mass communication and videotape.
One of the things that came out of this press conference here, John Burris's office, which we didn't know, was that Kenneth Harding was left there for 30 minutes. When we see the YouTube, it's about 3 or 4 minutes, and we see him bleeding, and that's horrific enough. But to know that there's a fire department 2 blocks away from where he was shot, and it was a 30 minutes before that came to his aid. What are your thoughts on that, and how do we look at that? Because people have already ran to various conclusions, not knowing that this man was left to die for 30 minutes.
Well, that's the reason why, as the attorney spoke today, there has to be a search for the facts. Because we do know when you watch it on television or on YouTube, you're watching the last 2 or 3 minutes. But there was a process that led up to those officers surrounding that young man with guns drawn as he was gasping for life. And I mean, in truth, Davey, if there were a dog shot and officers did nothing to try to humanely deal with that dog, there would have been an outcry from PETA and other groups demanding humane treatment for animals. But when it comes to a young man, where you could have had ambulance service around the corner, literally, and each of those officers are trained in basic emergency help training, then that should have been applied to this young man. This young man did not have to die over a bus fare. When I was a young man, we all did things of sneaking on buses and sneaking into movies, but we never thought that that could cost us our life. I think that this incident demonstrates the potential of overreaction. It demonstrates the potential of disregard for life and how you value black life or black male life. All of those are questions that are raised or etched in the minds of the community. That's why you need an independent assessment, an independent investigation, because law enforcement has not proven that it can independently, unbiased investigate itself.
Speaking of independence, and I know you all have to go in a minute, so, but one of the things that they said is that there was gun residue found on his hand. They talked about bullet casings and all sorts of stuff. Nobody I know in the press has been able to independently verify that. Has anybody in the community been able to go and see if they conducted the test correctly? Or are we relying upon the police, the policeman's word again? Keeping in mind it was just 3 months ago they tossed out 57
That's
felony
why
cases.
We need an independent investigation. And the thing that stands out in my mind is that the state attorney general, Kamala Harris, was the district attorney in San Francisco who had to throw out those cases. So she understands the problems, and she's elected on a state level as the top cop in the state. And I think it's only right, given the nature of this case, the blatant nature of this case, the apparent disregard for this young man. All of these are questions that the community has to get answers to if we're going to be settled. You have cameras there. There were cameras. We took a walking tour yesterday, and eyewitnesses showed us where the young man was shot, where the police were shot. There are actual cameras on the corners, on the street corners. There's cameras at the train station. There was cameras at the Bayview Opera House and at the library in the park. There are about 7 or 8 cameras that we saw. All of them have a view of that area that we've never seen. So obviously there's footage that has been retrieved, that has never been shown, that can easily tell us what happened. For some reason, that footage has not been released, so we're left to speculate.
Right, and it's also a small area. People forget that that area, just looking at the video where supposedly they saw a gun, the way it looks in the video is like it's very far, but when you're in that area, it's literally like 10 feet.
Unfortunately, the community is the policy of law enforcement in the black community for years was to pay informants, provocateurs, and others in the community to give false testimony. Many of the young men that are in prison are in prison on death row on the basis of false testimony from informants that they've cultivated in the community. So you'll get a potpourri of eyewitness accounts. Some will say they saw a gun. Some will say they didn't see a gun. So at the end of the day, that can cancel out each other. What we're concerned about is what do the tapes show? There's enough video evidence that can tell us clearly and definitively what happened that day. In the Oscar Grant case, there were people who took cell phone pictures, but there was also BART cameras. And we learned is that the BART police and others were confiscating phones, pulling people's off trains in order to take their telephone video cameras. So there is an effort right now to try to threaten any witnesses that have a contrary view. We know of a young man who was arrested yesterday.
That's right, Fly Bento.
We know another elder in the community who was arrested and threatened by law enforcement in the community. So this is going on, and there's an ongoing harassment of Kenneth Harding's family, where insult to injury is being added to the family's grief by the attack on the older son of the mother. So, I mean, we've had to really do our best to keep this family's sanctity and peace of mind, just trying to keep them strong enough to do what it is that they're trying to do and finding answers, because of the ongoing attack of law enforcement in Seattle, in San Francisco, and it's this level of intimidation.
And record numbers of police killings in Portland and all those things. My last question, and then I'll let you go, and I think it's an important one. Oftentimes when we have these conversations, the first thing that comes out is that the community is quick to rally around a police shooting, but we don't rally around black-on-black crime. I wanted to talk to you specifically about that, because you are with the nation. This is what you all do day in and day out. Many of the leaders that you brought here do this, and maybe you can add some context to the type of outreach work that you all do that has nothing to do with the police, but just how we deal with each other as a community, so we can get that particular question laid to rest once and for all, because I think it's an unfair one when we're talking about, you know, public official versus somebody who's a cat in the hood. But I think it's also doesn't give you all and other organizations the credit that you all do when you're out there in those streets day in and day out trying to turn around young lives.
Well, one thing, we do this kind of work all day, every day, transforming human beings into a certain quality of life and a certain moral code of conduct. But the problem with this whole notion of crime and violence in our community, here's the thing to consider. How do 15-year-olds in the black community know where the guns are being sold and where you can purchase a gun? And the combined forces of ATF, FBI, DEA, gang task force don't ever find out who's distributing guns in our community. This doesn't make sense when you realize that every community has informants. The police know who's got a problem with who, who's beefing with who, but they never are able to solve a crime or to preempt an attack or stop an attack. What is it about law enforcement that seems to allow, or even as we're learning, if this is true in Richmond, are those two officers the only officers that have been found distributing guns in the community, or is this systemic? See, there are some real questions we have to ask, because we understand that these young people are armed. How are they being armed? Why aren't these arms being stopped? How are they able to get guns into the hands of children and then seemingly set these children against one another? We've called gang truces in San Francisco, where we've had the leaders of all of the neighborhoods who are so-called warring against each other. We've sat them down in a room, and these young men have agreed to stop the killing. And the same night they made that agreement, police were picking these young men up and dropping them off in other neighborhoods, telling the young men, you better get your stuff because the other neighborhood is coming after you tonight. So what is the level of investigation going on?
And we've heard these stories over and over.
This kind of thing. So sometimes we look at the symptom, but don't look at the cause. We look at the effect, but don't look deep enough. Who turned the Black Panthers against Black Panthers? Who caused Black Panthers in the 60s to start fighting and killing other Black Panthers? We learned that it was the government program using taxpayer dollars in the counterintelligence program of the FBI that literally created the climate and the environment that caused these young men to fight and kill one another who were in their 20s, in their teens, and it was the government's policy to turn the US organization against the Panthers, to create factional disputes within the Nation of Islam, to cause brothers and sisters to fight and kill one another. Question, has it stopped? Or is it more intense? Is it more skillful? Is it more orchestrated? These are questions that we have to ask and answer scientifically so that we just can't blame the victim. But the ignorance that you see in our community is real. But the question is that ignorance being manipulated by forces that we don't see?